I found out that some people are going through some trials. Some people here are going through some difficulties, some that have been shared with me even this afternoon. And, you know, I realize that that's a part of life. We've been through trials. How many of you have been through trials? You know what I'm talking about? You know, I was on Monday of this week getting school started down at Hidden Treasure Christian School. One of our teachers came up who his son plays on the basketball team of Bob Jones University. He was over in Ireland, and he came to me. He said, "Dr. Herbster, would you pray with me? My son just tore his ACL in Ireland, and he's going to be out for the whole basketball season." Tragedy. He said he was crying on the phone, and I can't hug him. I can't be with him. And we just hugged together and prayed for him and asked that the Lord would be with Nathan Ellenwood. If any of you are wanting to pray for Nathan, and you know Nathan Ellenwood, he tore his ACL. I can remember my grandson, Malachi, went up for a shot and grabbed that big rebound, came down, ooh, and there went his knee, and his knee was gone, and he lost a season of basketball. Dr. Hay and I can relate because we were basketball buddies. Well, wasn't always so friendly, may I say that? Right, Doc? We would. He was left-handed hook shot. I think one of the reasons he invited me to come to speak in the early days is so we could go at it one-on-one on the basketball court so he could whoop me, just put me in my place. But we understand that accidents do happen, do they not? And Jesus said it this way in John 16 and verse 33. In this world, there is tribulation, trouble, difficulties, problems. But then he went on and he said, "Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." And as I heard of some of these situations this afternoon and even over the weekend, and, you know, pray for Dr. Hay. You know, it's no fun getting older. It's no fun having physical challenges. I mean, my mind still tells me what to do on the basketball court, but my body says no. And it's sometimes frustrating that you can't do what you once were able to do. And we're looking forward to that day when there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. We'll all be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But until then, we have to learn how to deal with difficulties. And I believe the Bible gives us some real good truth about how to deal with difficulties that has been a help to me. And I hope it'll be a help to you as we turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're just going to look at the first five verses of James chapter 1. And I'm going to give you three truths that I think will help you tackle the trials of life. And every family here has faced something, and if you haven't faced something yet of a very tragic situation, you're going to. I tell people you're either in a trial, coming out of trial, or I hate to tell you this, going into a trial. You don't know. We had no idea in May of 2012 that just about 7 months later we'd be losing our daughter-in-law. I had no idea that I'd be at Branson trying to enjoy some time with my wife and all of a sudden a policeman would come and find me and tell me my dad just died of a heart attack. You can't plan those kind of things. I didn't know that we'd have Oh Me and Oh Three at Tri-City. Some of you know what Oh Me and Oh Three is all about. You've read the book, Pastors and Deacons, and you realize some of the trials we went through in Oh Three. And we have some folks here from Tri-City that probably could tell that. I don't know if you were there at that time, Jason, but you probably heard some stories about Oh Me and Oh Three when we had an embezzlement of $1.2 million, when we had a youth pastor was immoral with a secretary, when we had a former deacon that was arrested for child abuse, when we had a newspaper article written in our church, and if the things were true, you wouldn't have liked what was going on in our church. And I had a letter sent out to the whole country. I was president of the American Association of Christian Schools at the time. And the letter went out and that all these things about Pastor Herbster and all the things that you could say. And by the way, since when does slander have to be truth? Right? But if it had been truth, I wouldn't have liked me either. I'm just saying, we've all had situations like that. As a matter of fact, at Tri-City, we said, "Please, Lord, no more in 04. And then we just wanted to stay alive in 05. Now, when I say that, some people think it's something to do with the ministry. Well, that's when Matt Herbster was airlifted out of the wilds because of an aneurysm. Not an aneurysm, but tell me, babe, what was called in his brain? No, wasn't it? A lesion. Thank you. A lesion. He had a seizure, and they had to take him, and he had a lesion. They had to go to Mayo, and many of you prayed about that situation. My wife was diagnosed with MUGUS, monoclonal gammopathy of an undetermined significance, which was a forerunner to multiple myeloma. I went in to have a checkup, and it ended up with 3 stents in my heart. We just wanted to stay alive in 05. And then we said, please, Lord, get it fixed in 06, and if not, just take us to heaven in 07. Let's just be done with all this. You know, have you ever gone through a trial? You've gone through difficulties, where it's family, whether it's work, whether it's in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I'm talking to some folks I talked to this afternoon, and I said, boy, talking to a couple people and seeing some trials and situations that are going on in their life, and then all of a sudden to realize that in a group this size, there's probably a lot more that haven't talked to me. But you can sure talk to the Lord anytime, casting all our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. James chapter 1, the first 5 verses, we read, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers. That's trials, difficulties, things that would try your faith. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, how many of you lack wisdom? May I see your hands? If you don't raise your hand, you lack wisdom. I don't know about you, but I pray for wisdom every day. I pray for wisdom. I pray for strength. I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. God, help me every day of my life. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Could we pray together? Father, you have clearly led me to this message tonight. Because of some folks here I've already talked to that are going through some difficult trials. And I know, Lord, that it's no fun facing the trials of life. And I also know, Lord, we can't face them without you. And I'm so thankful these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that you can handle all situations, but help us, Lord, to trust you the way we should trust you. I even want to pray tonight for Dr. Hay. I'm so thankful for him and his influence on my life and so many other people's lives. And I'm thankful that he's here, because as he goes through some of these physical trials, help him to trust you his way, be with his dear wife, as she also has to deal with these older years. And I pray that each one of us, whatever trial it might be, that we will cast our care upon you, because we do know that you care for us. Thank you for caring. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing I want you to see is in verse 2. Verse 2. My brethren, call it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Remember, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a difficulty, rejoice. Would you say that for me? Rejoice. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 4 and verse 4, many of you have memorized it, I'm sure. We are told to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And it's an easy verse to memorize. It's not so easy to live. When the trials are all around, when the difficulties are coming, when you have the rejection that sometimes comes from other people, or the news that you get, whether it be from a physician or a financial manager, there are all kinds of things that can go on in our lives and all of a sudden brings a trial. But God says we should rejoice. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Peter, and I want to show you a few other verses in 1 Peter that give us the same theme. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly... come on, I know it's been a long day, a hard day, and you've been, and I know you're tired, you've got to be, but rejoice, right? It's a positive word. Why can we rejoice? I'll tell you why we can rejoice. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What about yours? And no matter what happens here, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Jesus is coming soon. And I pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. So we rejoice. And he says that then, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said, we need to respond properly going through the trial. We need to rejoice. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange considering the fiery trial which is to try you, though as some strange thing happened unto you. In the last 6 years, my wife and I have lost a daughter-in-law, a sister, both of us, and now a brother-in-law to cancer. It's been difficult. Praise the Lord, they all know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're all in heaven rejoicing for eternity. But we miss them, right? Can I show you something? We're not unusual. How many of you in the last 5 years have lost some loved one to cancer? May I see your hands? Look around. It's not just us. How many of you have somebody right now that's battling with cancer? May I see your hands again? Look around. It's not strange. We don't have to think that we're the only ones. And he goes on, he says, verse 13, but rejoice. And can I tell you something? As a pastor, when I talk to some people and hear what they're going through and thinking I'm not going through that, you know what I do? I rejoice. Because but by the grace of God, where could I be in that situation? But by the grace of God, where would you be in a situation? And if you're in a midst of a calm from the storm, rejoice, because the storm is on its way. Because in this world, there is tribulation. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. He said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, what? Oh man, this is tough, going to the office and hearing them call me the religious nut, the holy roller, the Bible thumper, or whatever else they might call you. I know what they called me, okay? But it's also interesting that when they go into a trial or a tragedy, who they run to for help. And I hope that's because they saw somebody that had peace in the midst of his storms, and so maybe we could help give them peace. And I'll tell you, what you need is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. But he said, for the Spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. I love what it says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my... key word, falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Did Jesus have any persecution? Did Jesus have any problems? Did Jesus ever have somebody call Him names? Listen, folks, they crucified Him. So all of us in this room have it better than Jesus Christ. But we say we want to be like Christ, but then we don't want to take a little pain and a little sorrow and some difficulties. Well, listen, Jesus Christ took it all for you and for me upon the cross. And we need to learn how to take difficulties and trials with the right spirit. Rejoice. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying to rejoice in the fact that you have a family difficulty, you have a business difficulty, you have a physical difficulty, you have a financial difficulty. Whoopee! Praise the Lord for another trial. I'm not that crazy, okay? But here's what I'm asking you to rejoice in. God is still on the throne. God still knows what He's doing. God is still well able to take you and to take me through the trial, bring us out on the other side stronger and better fit to serve Him. So here's what you rejoice in. If you're writing it down, write this down. Rejoice in the providence of God. Would you say that with me? Rejoice in the providence of God. How many of you have learned Romans 8:28? How many of you believe Romans 8:28? How many of us practice Romans 8:28? And I know, right? Well, do we really believe it? I know what? That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to a purpose. Do you love God? Are you seeking to do His will? Then rejoice. God's working it together for good. God's doing a work through all this. And you may not understand it, but God does. And sometimes you come out and you look back and you say, oh, yeah, I see why that happened. We couldn't sell our house in Kansas City. I mean, it was there. It's a beautiful house. Why wouldn't it sell? We're going down to help Matt and Julie at the Wilds. We're being benevolent and caring for our family, Lord. And now we got a house that we still have to pay for. Thank the Lord the Wilds gave us a place to stay here so that we could help Matt and Julie. And then when Julie passed, we could help with the kids until Matt was able to have a new wife. But why would our house not sell? God must be mad at us, right? Well, there was a church in northern Indiana that lost a pastor and was having some struggles. And I was had been their assistant pastor many years ago. And all of a sudden, they wanted somebody to come and be their interim pastor. Now, if we had have sold our house in Kansas City, we would have already been relocated in Greenville, South Carolina. I told you last night, members of Faith Baptist Church and Base Advance USA Ministry out of Faith Baptist Church. And they're much involved in what I'm seeking to do in government. But our house didn't sell, so we're not stupid enough to go and get another house. And it was very interesting and just coincidental, I'm sure, that as soon as we accepted the fact that we would go to South Bend, Indiana and be their interim pastor, and they got us an apartment and furnished it for us, our house sold. God knew what He was doing. There would have been no way I would have gone to South Bend. It was questionable whether I was going to go to South Bend, Indiana. I grew up there. I know what the winters are like. I know what the snow's like. But God knew that He had to make it possible for us to do what He would want us to do in His plan. You see, God was working it together for, well, I think they think it was good. You can go talk to them and find out. But praise the Lord for the way that worked. I remember when Mom Stokes, who lived with us, Mom and Dad Stokes, Debbie's parents, lived with us in Kansas City. We'd built a house and made a nice apartment for them, and they stayed there. And Dad went to heaven from our basement apartment. And it wasn't, but a few months later, it was actually in February of 2012 that Mom Stokes made the decision she wanted to move back to Indiana. We couldn't understand why Mom would want to go. What's the matter? Is there something wrong with us? Or you don't like your place? I know we're out here in the middle of nowhere and the rest of the family's back in Indiana, but we're the believers in the family. You know, we were kind of having a pity party. You know what I'm talking about? None of you have ever gone through this probably. What's going on? Why would Mom want to leave us? She'd gone out there for Christmas, found a place already, put a deposit down, and we're going, what? Without even talking to us? You know, I know you're more spiritual than me, so, you know, you don't have those kind of concerns. But it was May of 2012 when we found out that Julie had colon cancer, and very serious colon cancer because it had metastasized into her liver, and they weren't sure if she was going to live, and of course she didn't. Can you imagine the struggle we would have had if Mom was still living with us? My wife couldn't have packed up immediately and come down here. I couldn't have transitioned out of the pastor and come down here. God knew what He was doing, right? You could tell these stories, couldn't you? Whoa. I think Ron Hamilton tells a story, does he not? Remember Patch? You remember what happened to him and his losing his eye? And he said, hey, if I go in and it's just an infection, I'll come out with a sore eye. But if it's cancer, I'll come out without an eye. And what happened? He came out without an eye because it was cancer. So he makes a patch and puts it on his eye and goes to church and trying to be faithful there. And And all of a sudden, the kids are running up to him. Hey, 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 are you a pirate? Are you a pirate? And all of a sudden, Patch says, hey, I've always wanted a nickname. Yeah. I'm Patch the Pirate. And that's how all that foolishness began, okay? That we've been talking about. But tremendous principles, tremendous ministry all around the world. In the providence of God. Right? And out of that also came a song. Do you remember the song? Rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. In the providence of God, He wanted a new ministry. He wanted a new song that we all know, and it's been translated into many languages and helps me rejoice in the midst of trials and difficulties. And I know it's helping him rejoice as he goes through another trial right now. Because he's learned it. He knows how to practice it. And then here I am at Hidden Treasure Christian School for about 2 weeks. Do you know the founding of Hidden Treasure Christian School? Do you know the tragedy that took place in the John Vaughn family, in the fire in their home that left Becky severely burned, and his wife was burned as well. And through all of that, Faith Baptist Church, where Pastor Vaughn had started the church and planted the church, founded Hidden Treasure Christian School that I now get the privilege of being the interim administrator of. Folks, trials come. And they're difficult, and we don't always understand them, but we always understand that God is still in control. And no matter what the situation you're facing or you might face in the future, rejoice in the providence of God. Would you say that with me again? Rejoice in the providence of God. He's still on the throne. He can give you the strength you can need, and He can use your situation for good. Because all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to His purpose. James chapter 1, look at what it says in verse 3 and 4. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. He says, you need to understand that this trial that's in your life will work patience, and patience will help complete you and strengthen you so that God can do His perfect and entire work in your life. Remember, God is working in our lives through the sanctification process. And we don't always like the sanctification process because sometimes God has to use trials to help make us into what He wants us to be and help prepare us to be used the way He wants us to be used. You remember the potter and the clay illustration of Scripture. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you doing to me? Why are you making me thus? Well, we shouldn't. But I sometimes do. Maybe none of you do. What are you doing? Right? Because the pressure comes, you know, to make a pot, to form the clay, there has to be some pressure. And sometimes I don't like the pressure. You all seem like you like it, so I'm just kind of leaving you out of this now. No, I know we're all made out of the same stuff. But remember, God has a purpose. When you're going through a trial, rejoice in the providence of God. But also when you're going through a trial, number two, remember the purpose of God. Would you say that for me? Remember the purpose of God. Because after Romans 8:28 comes Romans 8:29. Now that's great theological teaching if you didn't catch it. And do you know what it says in Romans 8:29? Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to what? Be conformed to the image of His Son. That we might be perfect. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Keep your finger here. We're going to come right back. But look what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God has given gifts to the church. Buddy, I'm going to say it now. You said it Sunday. It's my turn, okay? And it says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And now I've got to get this right. I wrote it down, but the comma that created a coma. Is that right? This was Buddy's message at Sunday school, and so I'm just stealing it from him. He's missionary to Peru and all that. So, you know, no plagiarism makes for dull preaching. Didn't you know that? So, I mean, you got to. But at least he's here so I can give you credit, and he gave somebody else credit. So, well, anything we get, it's from somewhere, you know. But the comma that created the coma, I like that. I never said that before, but I'm going to start using that if I can remember it, okay? But it says the perfecting of the saints. It's not the perfecting of the saints. It's not three things. The teachers are to give the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying the body of Christ. That's the job of leadership. No, leadership is to perfect the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be built up. And I'll tell you what, you'll be built up by getting involved in serving others. That's the way a church is really effective. When leadership trains people to do the work of the ministry, everybody grows in that. But here's what I want you to see is verse 13. Till we all come, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Isn't that what we read in James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that we might be perfect and full grown and mature? He says, but what is a perfect full grown man? Look what he says. He defines the term, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's Christ-likeness. God's trying to make us like Christ. He's trying to make us to be able to be used for Christ. It's very interesting that in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, you see a similar thought. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be, there it is again, truly furnished unto all good works. Be like Christ, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine, be conformed to the image of Christ. God's got a purpose here. Remember the purpose. He's trying to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ so we can be used in a greater way for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Can you still keep James? This is real good if you can hang on to like three or four places at the same time. That's what, you know, when you're really into Bible study, keep your fingers in four or five places. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I want you to see this one. Because some of you may have gone through a trial so that you can have a ministry. And some of you may already have that ministry. But if not, realize that God has a purpose. And here's one of them. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How do we get comfort? By coming alongside somebody or somebody come alongside us that knows what we've been through. I can relate to people who've lost loved ones to cancer. I can be an encouragement to them. I can try to help them and let them know the process and all the things that go on with the chemotherapy and with the hospice and all the things that many of you are familiar with as well. I can understand that. So I can have a ministry to somebody like that. I've never been through a divorce. I can't come alongside somebody that's going through a divorce or having that type of situation. But in our church, there were plenty of people that I could point people to that had gone through that and gone through the difficulty and the trial that could come alongside and minister to somebody. I've never had a wayward child. Pray I never do have a wayward child. It's only by the grace of God that any of our children turn out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you know that. But some of you maybe have, and instead of complaining about it, pray about it, but be an encouragement to somebody else that's had the same problem, the same difficulty. Come alongside. Encourage. My son Matt has a whole new ministry. I don't know how many of you know this. People here around the wilds know that Matt took it upon himself now to minister to men who lose their wives and have children. Some of you may have heard about the tragic bus accident at Colonial Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, where the pastor's son was killed and his daughter-in-law was killed. Another great trial for a church and for a pastor. What you may not know was there was also a lady on that bus coming back from camp that was killed, and a man was left without his wife and had five children. Without telling any of us in the family, Matt drove all the way from the wilds to Indianapolis, Indiana, to be there to be able to minister to that man who lost his wife and had five children. Oh, yes, he tried to encourage Pastor Phelps as well, but he never lost a child, but he'd lost a wife. And all of a sudden, he has a new ministry. And now, I was just at a church not too long, and he said, "You think it'd be all right if I had so-and-so call your son because he just lost his wife?" And my son loves that ministry. He knows the hurt. He knows the struggle. He knows the frustration. He has a new ministry, a new purpose in life. He's even done some matchmaking with some that lost theirs. So, I mean, it's amazing what's happening in the new ministry that he has. Do you get the point? What I tried to do as a pastor, when I would sit down and talk with some people like I talked to today and try to give them encouragement, even though I've never been through the situation they're going through. Yes, I give them comfort from the scriptures and I pray with them. But you know what I always try to do? Find somebody else that's been through the same thing and let them come alongside and be an encouragement to them. That's my job. And some of you that have been through trials have a ministry you don't even know about. Take the ministry. God has given you comfort. God has brought you through. God has given you strength. Go alongside somebody else and be a blessing to them. Be a comfort to them. I'm just curious, young people, if you're here, okay? I want to know if there's any weightlifters in the crowd. Okay? I'm not going to arm wrestle you, I promise, okay? But anybody that likes to pump iron, anybody like... Any dads? Oh, here we go. Back here, guy. Oh, my. Good. All right, I'm going to put you to the test now. Are you ready for the test? Okay. You all listen. We're going to put these guys to the test. They say they pump iron. I'm kind of looking to see. Yeah, I think they maybe could. Okay. If you want to strengthen your muscles, do you put on weight or do you take off weight? Whew. Did you all hear it? How many of you know what you do? You put on weight, right? Yeah, you put, I hope you, if you don't know, then you really aren't a weightlifter. I understand, okay. You put on weight. Now, another question. If you want to build up endurance, more repetitions or fewer repetitions? Two out of two. These guys get a prize, you know, they did good. You meet me at the snack shop in a little bit. I'm going to take care of you guys, okay? Hey, they can afford it if they're pumping iron, you know. And besides, I'll get some too. That's okay, now, why do we expect any different when we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Right? Why would we expect that we wouldn't have more trials and more difficulties as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? As He's trying to strengthen us and make us fit for His service. Why would we be surprised when the trial maybe goes a little longer when He's trying to build our endurance? It's not fun. It's not easy. Pumping iron is not either. It's work. It hurts. But it will strengthen us and make us fit for the Master's use if we'll let Him. You see, we've got to rejoice in the providence of God. We've got to remember the purpose of God. And can you make it all the way back to James now? You've been holding your place, it's just a flip, right? It's just a flip away. There you go. James chapter 1, one more thought. In verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and he'll consider giving it to you. He'll evaluate if you've been good enough and you deserve the blessing that would come from the Lord. And maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. That's the amplified version, in case you didn't know. Right or wrong? Good, you're all still with me. All right, it's wrong. Okay, now think this through. In the Bible, God gives us a lot of different scriptures. Some are commands. This you must do. Some are prohibitions. This you must not do. Some are principles, general truths that we apply in different situations and different cultures, right? The principles, prophecies, okay? And I could go on and on and on. What type of verse is this verse? If you were to characterize this verse, I saw this young lady back here, say it with her promise. Thank you. I'm a lip reader too, you know. It's a promise, right? Let's read it again because I don't want to mess it up. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. And what? Promise, it shall be given him. It's a promise. Can I tell you something about the Bible? It's full of promises. Promise after promise after promise. Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My God will supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I can do all things, key statement, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Promise. Thou art with me. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of, trouble. Be still and know that I am God. I could go on and on and on with the promises of the Scriptures. And hopefully so could you. That's why we memorize Scripture. Did you know that? So we can defeat the devil. I mean, the sword of the Spirit. Put on the whole armor, but take offensive weapon as well. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do battle. Jesus Christ, when He was tempted in the wilderness, every time He was tempted, what did He do? Said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He used the Word of God to defeat the devil. Thy Word have I, say it with me, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Even in the time of trial and trouble, I don't want to sin against God. I want to handle it properly. Well, hide God's Word in your heart. Grab hold of the promises of Scripture and trust God. After all, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Say it with me. In all thy ways, promise. And what will He do? He'll show you how to handle this situation. He'll get you through it. You may not think you can, but with God, all things are possible. Promise. So number one, rejoice in the providence of God. Say it with me. I tell you, I hang on to these truths because I'm telling you, it just seems like it's one trial after another in life, doesn't it? About the time you think you're getting through one, then something else comes along. And who knows what the next one's going to be. And I tell you what, I need the truth of God's Word to tackle the trials of life. So rejoice in the providence of God. You're not going to be able to rejoice in the circumstance, the situation, but remember, God's still on the throne. He's working it together for good. Number two, remember the purpose of God. He's trying to mold a masterpiece. He's trying to make you fit for His use in lives of other people. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. So remember the purpose of God is to make you like Christ, so that you can be used for the Lord Jesus Christ until Jesus comes again. Number three, rely on the promises of God. Would you say that? Rely on the promises of God. As you're reading through the Bible, grab hold of promises. Have a promise book. And by the way, the book of Psalms is almost that. You're going through a trial. I have a lot of different reading programs I like, but I'll tell you, take 5 Psalms a day. So you go through the Psalms every month. Just like some of you maybe go through the Proverbs every month by taking 1 proverb a day. When you're going through that trial, go to the Psalms and you're just going to say promise after promise after promise after promise after promise. Hang on to the promises of God's Word and realize that God has a plan for your life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm going to conclude with an illustration that comes back from Julie's passing into heaven. And I'm going to kind of preach my son's message without preaching the whole thing, okay? Because I know you're disappointed. You wanted to be here another hour, but, you know, But when Julie went to heaven, Matt had already prepared me and the folks here at the Wild for what might happen. Because right after Julie was diagnosed with her cancer, I flew down here. Debbie came down and was here before I got down here. And then I came and met with my son. He said, you know, Dad, next week is staff training at the Wilds. This was the May of 2012. And he said, normally on Monday nights, I go and I talk to the staff and preach to the staff. That's my opportunity. And the Wilds has been so great, and they've said, listen, you know, you have no responsibilities except to care for your wife. And by the way, the Wilds was great not only in her sickness, but in her passing. And since then, this is a wonderful family. The Wilds is a wonderful family. And but he said, Dad, I'd really something. I believe I would like to share my heart with the staff. And I said, son, I don't know how you would do it. But if the Lord leads you to do that, clearly you follow the Lord's leading. And sure enough, on that Monday night, with all the staff gathered, and Debbie and I were here, and others that had gathered to come and just hear how Matt was dealing with things, he said, I want you to look at the Psalms, and I'll have you turn to Psalm 34. One of the Psalms that you could take and meditate on and learn from. But Matt said, I'm going to share with you one psalm, one verse, verse 8. And I really believe this is the attitude I want to have when trials come my way. I really believe it was the attitude that our son had that was such a help to all of us in the family as he was losing his wife and the children are losing their mother. And no matter what trial you're going through or you might go through, I think this is a truth that you should hang on to. Another one of those verses you ought to memorize. Because look what it says in Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. I have written in my Bible, Matt, May 28, 2012. And I'll summarize for you, Matt said, I just want you all to know that the Bible is true and that the Lord is good. The Lord is always good and always will be good. He was good to allow Julie and I to meet in high school. He was good to allow us to get married. He was good to allow us to have children. He was good to allow us to work here at the Wilds and serve here as well. He was good in even allowing Julie to have cancer, and if Julie dies, God will still be good. His character does not change. God is always good. Whew, okay. Number two. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Since He's always good, we can trust Him. And he said, Julie and I trusted Him as our personal Savior. We trusted Him that this was the right relationship when we got married. We trusted Him as He gave us children, that we would be able to raise these children for the Lord. We trusted that this was the right decision to come and be at the Wilds and serve at the Wilds. And we're even trusting in the decisions we need to make about treating the cancer that's there. And we want you to know that even if God takes Julie to heaven, we're going to continue to trust the Lord. And the Lord has been good in giving Matt Tiffany, and some of you have had the chance to meet her. But even if God wouldn't have given Matt Tiffany, which we're glad He did, God would still be good. And I believe Matt would continue to trust Him, even as I hope I can trust Him in the trials of life that I go through. Folks, we're all made out of the same stuff. It's not easy for any of us. But I am what I am. Finish it. By the grace of God. And His grace is sufficient. I don't know what you're going through. I know what some are going through because I had some conversations already. But I know as a pastor, when you have one situation in a church and you're talking to somebody, there's many more. And I've heard from more than one today about some things that you're going through. It's So I know there's a lot of other people that are going through trials. Don't be surprised. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. The devil's after our families, remember? They can destroy the family, can destroy the church, they can destroy the country, remember? Family is priority. Don't be surprised when the devil's out to get us. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But if you'll submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. Promise. So cast your care upon him. He cares for you. Another song that Ron Hamilton has written, and I've needed it so much that I've memorized it. Oft times when life is gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. Nobody else probably like me that seems like sometimes it takes crises to get me on my knees where I need to be, because then it says, when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, Lord, I need you. When the winds are blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, Lord, keep me always on my knees. Because, Lord, I need you. In just a moment, our pianist is going to play that song. Lord, I need you. And I'm going to ask some of you that are going through real trials and real difficulties, as the rest of us may be standing, go to your knees. Cast your care upon him. Right there where you are, if you want to come up here, that's fine. I don't care where. But I'm just saying, God resists the proud, but you know what he does? He gives grace unto the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, that he'll exalt you in due season. I don't know what the trial is. I don't know what the difficulty is. I don't know what you're going through. I know it's in my life. And Lord, I need you. So continue, now or in the future, to rejoice in the providence of God, to remember the purpose of God, and to rely on the promises of God.